You're listening to the Resurgent ATL Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you, Chris. Oh, thank you, guys. What a warm welcome, y'all. So my parents are here today. Mark and Diane over there, maiden name Canapa. My dad just celebrated his 70th birthday. Is that okay that I just told everybody that? Yes. So we had an awesome weekend celebrating. I'm so excited they're here. Give them a little extra love if you happen to run into them after. I want to just be obedient to something that I felt on my heart during worship. I love that song. What's it called? I Speak the Name of Jesus. A little insight into me. I have been radically healed of panic and anxiety in a major way for many, many years. I had panic attacks, even in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping, you know, essentially very peaceful, right? Having panic attacks. So what I want to share with you guys, a lot of this has to do with a breakthrough that I had. And as we all know, that journey looks very different for different people. But for me, this was huge in the healing that I experienced of anxiety and of depression as well. So I even just want to speak those words over you right now. If that's you, if you have been struggling with anxiety, just in faith right now, just open up your hands, or panic or depression. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart, every mind. I speak the name of Jesus over anxiety, over panic, over depression right now, in Jesus' name. And thank you for the authority you've given me, God. As I've walked that out with you, God, and the power that you have freed me from, God, that you freed me from and given me that power and authority, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, are you ready to dive in, you guys? All right. Okay, so today, first slide. I see them up there, right? Oh, Riley, you made it so pretty. Thank you, Riley. It's the power of vulnerability with the Father. So when you think of vulnerability, you might have a few preconceived notions about what that word means, right? It might be negative. It might be positive. A lot of times, it may have to do with people and being hurt by people, or maybe you've seen it as weakness. I'll share a little bit later about my journey with that. But what I want you to think of today, when you're thinking of vulnerability, let's just scratch whatever we've felt in the past, is this. It's consciously choosing not to hide your emotions and desires from God. That's it. Very simple. Choosing not to hide your emotions or desires from God. So for me, when I was told that I get to teach today, I thought, okay, well, God, how did you make Lacey, right? What giftings have you given me? What stories do I have? What do you have on your heart for me to share as an individual who loves you? And I just started seeing flashbacks of my childhood. So my mom is here, and she knows that the very first thing that was said to her about me in the nursery was, what, mommy? Well, she's fussy, right? Well, she's fussy. That was the first thing said over my life. Thank you very much, everybody. So vulnerability for me was something that came natural, right? And unfortunately, when you're young and you're working that out, that doesn't have to do with being vulnerable with God. It's being vulnerable with a wide open world, right? So I'm going throughout life. This is something God has gifted me in. And we all know that when you have a gift, there is often a struggle that comes with it, right? There's a counter. There's an extreme to what you're gifted in. And that extreme can actually cause hurt or pain. But I just want to encourage you today through hearing this story about me that that gift is a gift. And aligned with God's heart, it is powerful. So I spent many years, elementary school, losing a game, right? I'm sure some of you guys, you have that sibling that cries when they lose a game, right? They take it personally. My son just did that the other day, right? He lost and he cried, right? I was the one in, oh gosh, tornado watches, you guys. Just a watch. I remember hearing that, dee, on the radio. Raise your hand if you remember that, the little back in the radio days. And my parents know, tears, just super feeler vulnerable, right? Well, fast forward a few years, you get into teenage years, that's a very interesting dynamic, right? So, to say the least, yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to get too far into that or the specifics, but as you know, I'm so thankful I had parents that allowed me to be that person. They never shut me down. And I'm going to try not to go in the tears mode right now, but I'm so thankful for both of you because you never shut me down. You always gave me love and affection. You always allowed me to have that example of Abba Father through both of you. You brought me into your lap and you talked me through whatever I was feeling and you empowered me as to who I am. So I'm so blessed. I'm so, so blessed that you guys did that. So as I'm going throughout life, in the teenage years, I feel that what I'm talking about today was what I really needed the most for myself, something that my parents couldn't like force me to do, and that's having vulnerability with the Father, right? That's coming to Him with whatever I'm experiencing, whatever is authentically going on in there. For me, I grew up in the church, which I'm super thankful for. I absolutely knew Jesus loved me. I absolutely knew the whole story of the gospel, but I just hadn't connected for myself what that meant personally because I had never opened myself up to vulnerability and encounter with God, right? Does anybody know what that feels like? You kind of know about Him, but you have no idea how to actually receive something that feels real for you and then play that out into your life. And especially as a teenager, I knew I loved God, I was faithful, whatever, but this kind of thing was just something I didn't know what to do. So I'm vulnerable with the world, so to speak. I remember boyfriend stuff and literally bawling in the hallways. That was me. I was that girl, you guys. But I didn't fully know how to be vulnerable with God, right? A perfectly healthy, perfectly safe God. So you're going to go on this journey with me. I'm not going to complete the story yet. You ready? All right, let's dig into some Bible. Genesis 3, 1 through 11. I'm going to start there. This story we use so often because it just says so many things about God and about us, but we're focusing on something specific today. I'm going to read this with you. The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any of these trees in the garden?" "Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that you're not allowed to eat." God said, "You must not even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her. God bless you, husbands. God bless y'all. And he ate it too. Cheers. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" What I want to highlight today is how God responds to this situation, right? So God comes to them, and he is wondering where they are because he wants to see his children face to face. He wants to live in a reality where they are not trying to be like God, knowing both good and evil, right? Where they are measuring themselves, and they are deciding their worth, and they are deciding their value. They're deciding if they're good enough. He wants to approach them and to see that they are boldly before him in relationship, not hiding, right? right? Not afraid of who they actually are. So he says, who are you? Or where are you? That's where I'm going with this, though. Where are you? He replied, so he says, I was walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. So that's our first clue that all of a sudden there's a different identity that he's received. So he used to walk confidently and boldly. And this example, nakedness, what I want you to think of is that vulnerability where you're not hiding your emotions or your desires from God. You're not hiding any part of yourself before God. But in this example, this is where we know that he received that shame. I'm naked. God's response, this is very important. The wording of this to me is so important. Who told you that you were naked? That implies God did not tell him that. That was not God's intention ever for him to look inward and become self-conscious, to become obsessed with self-righteousness, right? He always desired for us to be outward focused, looking to him, receiving our identity from him in that vulnerability. When you hide, you are actually receiving another identity. Now, hiding can look like many, many different things, okay? It's not, some might find this kind of a simple thing to do. Like for me, the idea of vulnerability, emotion, that kind of thing, very natural to me. But I still had areas in my life that even subtly, I felt shame and I felt like it wasn't good enough for God. Let's say you come into a setting like this with your church family and in worship, and someone told you along the line that you're a super awkward person, right? So you received that shame. You don't want to be vulnerable, right? You don't want to be vulnerable in front of God or with your church family. You receive that shame, and you don't allow yourself to be seen, right? You don't allow yourself to be seen in worship. You don't allow yourself to move. You don't allow yourself to be louder than this when you sing, right? Because you've believed that lie that you, who you are in that nakedness is not good enough for God or for other people. So who told you you were naked is not coming from God. Believing lies about our position with God and the relational nature of God will cause you to hide and have shame. So think about it this way. If you are not seeing that God enjoys being with you or that God has an expectation on you, then you are going to hide and you will not submit yourself to him. And that's what I was doing for many years in my life. I knew he loved me, but I was also told he had a lot of expectations on me, right? Which is not congruent with the gospel of Jesus, because we know that he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. And because of that, you can come boldly to him. And you can even come boldly within your church family. This is not specifically what I'm talking about because there's a different dynamic with people. God is perfectly, perfectly safe, right? But there is an element of coming in with your church family and allowing yourself to be vulnerable as well, right? So when the serpent said, "You will be like God, knowing both good and evil," you are meant to walk as a son or a daughter, not to judge, not the judge of self or others. God's intention has always been relationship and intimacy with you. No need to analyze whether you are good enough for him or your issues are too messy to bring to him or for you to straighten up on your own. This means all the things, y'all. All the things. And the more I live, and y'all, you know, plenty of y'all have lived longer than me. The more I live, the more messy I realize that humanity is. And being a parent, I realize how messy it can be, right? So being real, it can be a very scary thing. And because we love God, it can feel scary. But I'm here to encourage you that that is God's desire. It is, in fact, his design for your life. It was his intention originally to be walking in a place relational and not measuring of yourself. You are safe with him. Is that first slide healthy vulnerability? You have that? Healthy, so I'm saying healthy vulnerability just so that we continue to stay on this definition that it's not hiding your emotions or desires from God, right? So it's identity driven. That's what I just spoke about, so we're actually going to move on to the next one. Healthy vulnerability. What's next? It's brave. I spent many years of my life feeling like, and people told me, that I was weak because of the way that I am. And obviously there was imbalance in my life. My parents did not do this, but other people told me that because I felt, because I was open, that I wasn't as strong as other people. I'm so thankful now through lots of encounters with God where I just received the beauty that God made me as a little girl and as an infant. Well, she's fussy, right? Through those encounters, I'm so thankful that I finally received that vulnerability is actually brave. It's brave. Healthy vulnerability is brave. I'm going to give you some Bible for this one. You ready? I like to say Bible with a country eye. I don't know why. Bible. Hebrews. I love this so much. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. Coffee. Ah, good one, Jake. Thank you. You're so good. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Everybody say confidence. So that we may receive, mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Wait a second here. This takes me aback, right? So if God can empathize with my weakness, if he actually understands, that even adds another element. When you're approaching him, you're not coming to a God that shoos you away. Clint just referenced that story earlier in prayer about the children. Think about how vulnerable and raw and real kids are. When children came to Jesus, what did he do? Did he say, oh, this is not appropriate right now, guys. They're too wild. Can you please take them away? I don't like that they're being themselves right now. No, he said, this is what I desire for you. These kids are being real right now, right? So they're coming in confidence because they have such a beautiful awareness of the empathy of God, right? They don't have this idea that God doesn't understand them, right? Most children. Or that, you know, in a healthy family, that their parents wouldn't understand them. They're showing you what they feel because they believe that you'll respond to them. Now, what about us? Do we believe that Father God will respond to us? And how do we think that he will respond to us? It says that he was tempted in every way. So if you have stoic Jesus in your mind, you got to scratch that. Jesus was not stoic Jesus, right? He was not like, have you ever seen some of those movies from like the 70s? Hello, yes, my child. It's like he's a robot in Disney World, right? Like an animatronic. And that's just, you know, bless it. It had its time, and also part of that's technology and whatever. Bless it. However, there's some good stuff coming out now, right? Jesus that had actual feelings, yet was without sin. That's what we should receive within ourselves. There's a lot that goes around about emotion. And that emotion is, oh, it lies to you. And I'll talk about that later. There's a place for that, right? There's a place where we have an area where we say, okay, yes, emotion can lead me down a wrong path. But it is also something that is always safe to come to God with. Always, right? Do you know why? God is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? One of those is the truth. When you boldly come in confidence, you are lining up with the truth himself. You get to receive from the truth in that place. So why do we need to be afraid of what we feel? Why do we need to be afraid of our weaknesses? Why do we need to be afraid if there's something messy in your marriage, something messy in your friendships at school? We don't need to be afraid. Perfectly empathizing. That's who God is. He understands. He has felt it all. Know his nature. Know who you are being vulnerable with. When you know this, you can come boldly and confidently. So this is just an example of this, because I want to turn around our idea of vulnerability as weak and to see it as brave. My son, River, my oldest son, we had never done a sleepover. Everybody has their own opinions about that, but we went to Texas, and we had a cousin, family. We allowed him to have his very first sleepover, right? So he has the sleepover, and it's weeks later, and we're just in our house in the playroom, and he comes up to me, and I see this inner turmoil, right? You can tell when your kids are kind of wrestling with something. And he comes to me, and I almost see his chest puff up a little bit. And he says, "Mommy, at that sleepover, my cousin showed me something scary. There, I said it." And my reaction was, "Oh my gosh, that was so brave." He had been thinking about that and trying to bring himself to the place where he felt like it was okay to admit that. And in his little world, that was like such a big deal. So me being, you know, like my father, I open my heart to him and say, "River, I'm so proud of you for telling me that. I am so proud of your bravery to be vulnerable with me. Now let's talk about what we can do in the future so that this doesn't have to happen and you don't have to be scared. Like, what plan can we come up with, right?" And with God being amazing and perfect and wonderful as a father, how much more is he going to do that with us? Is he scared? Is he scared of what we're going to talk to him about? Or does he see your bravery? Is he proud of you? And is he perfectly capable to help you in your time of need? All right, I think it's time for the next slide. This one's my favorite, actually, this slide. Oh, no. This has to do with, I probably told you this out of order. Is there one that says healthy vulnerability is? Yeah, the one before that. If it's not there, it's okay. I'll just say it out loud. It is permission for encounter. Permission for encounter. So we've been talking about this emotion thing and kind of trying to debunk that emotions are like scary and you should avoid them. And emotional church is like a terrible thing. And being in church and feeling things is weird and blah, blah, blah. No, we're going to scratch that. Emotions. You can go back to that definition. This is like a fancy definition, but I'm going to throw it out there. Conscious mental reactions subjectively experienced as strong feelings, usually directed towards a specific object and typically accompanied by physiological and behavioral changes in the body. Now, I want to talk about your emotions towards God. Okay, so for the specific object, we're talking about God. These are just simply mental reactions that can be strong feelings that are accompanied with physiological and behavioral changes in the body, right? So when you're vulnerable with God, you're, in a nutshell, you're allowing yourself to react to him. That's really it. Allowing yourself to go there with him, being vulnerable enough to allow that reaction. But what often happens, in my opinion, and what I feel God has shown me, is that we're too aware, if it's in a church setting, maybe not if you're at home by yourself, encounter looks a lot of ways, but I'm specifically talking in a church setting, we are hyper aware of how vulnerable that is with other people around, right? I know that I can be at times. And that's called what? Fear of man. Fear of man. That's something that can get in the way of that permission for encounter. And I'm specifically talking about within your church family, right? Your safe church family. Allowing yourself to react to God. So think about this. Who is God? Did God create everything that exists? Did he create the universe? Is he good? Is he love itself? Is he the way, the truth, the life? He's everything. Would we not have some sort of reaction to him? Would we not allow ourselves to feel something, to be vulnerable enough to feel something towards him? Suppressing your emotions will hinder your vulnerability and reactivity towards God. Now, there's different levels of this, and you know, everybody's on their own journey, but I encourage you to open your heart to him more and more and to allow yourself to react to what he's doing in your heart. He actually made you to feel things. And that's just the truth. We aren't made to walk around wearing gray and like not cracking a smile and not enjoying anything in life because pleasure is bad. That is not God. If you think about the reality of heaven, and I'm sure we all have, we all think about that, that's what's meant to be on earth. Do you think there's laughter? Do you think there's dancing? You know I love that. I love the dancing. Do you think that there is relationship, deep, heartfelt relationship? Yeah, right? There's so many things that I could go through. Do you think people are fake? Yeah. What about in heaven? Nah. Let's let that reality come to earth, right? We're real. We're experiencing God. We're allowing ourselves to feel in our healthy vulnerability with God. All right. You guys ready for my story of encounter? I really love this story. And it has to do with what I talked about with panic and all that good stuff. Because I don't have a traditional healing story of how God healed me of all that stuff. So I already told you my early journey that I could, you know, easily be vulnerable with other people in the world. But with God, I just wasn't there yet. So I was working for a church in California, moved down to Florida. Found this amazing community, this amazing man here, Gary Pagliaro. It was just a blessing moving there in every way. And in that community, I lived with my sister, who was an example of just the right way to be a Christian to me. We all know our older siblings can be this example to us where we're like, wow, you know, they do things so well. So she represented that to me. She brought me to this church that was, whatever you picture when you hear the word revival, that was kind of like where it was at. So I liked it, but I felt lots of vulnerable things. Me being a person that's vulnerable with the world but doesn't know how to do that with God, I feel this like tension literally in my neck when I walk in there. Plus, it's my older sister telling me you should go there. So I'm like, no, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm not going to go here, but I'll visit. So I go with her and I visit and that thing's right there. And it's like, this is good, but you're not going to be like that. You're not going to be that open and real with God, and you're not going to feel things that much, right? Because that seems scary, and that seems weird. So eventually, I keep coming back, because obviously there's something that's appealing me, even though I'm feeling that tension. And a dear friend of mine, who at the time was the young adults leader, South African man, he comes up to my sister and I without knowing us, lays his hand just right on our knee, and I don't even remember what he said. And all of the sudden, I just started cracking up. I don't remember thinking about it, but whatever that was like laughter that needed to come out. So I spent like the next year, I feel like laughing. No joke. Like not all the time. I just mean in and out of God just touching me in laughter. And honest to God, was completely healed from panic, anxiety, and depression through laughter. Like that's what happened. I didn't have someone. I had many people pray for me, and my sister was in realms where they were like, they were ready. They were like, oh, your sister, and I didn't mind, but I told her she could. Your sister deals with this. We're going to pray, and that's all a blessing, and that's some people's story. For me, I laughed, and God just wrecked my life in every way, and from there, you know the verse that says, seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. There were so many things that were just added to me. It was so amazing. The more I just fell in love with who he was, the more I reacted to who he was, the more I allowed myself to dance, the more I allowed myself to sit in a circle of young adults and talk and pray over each other and just go there with God, the healthier I got. Like, my body was so healthy. I just would go on these walks in West Palm Beach, and it was like this, like, the world was brighter. I felt like butterflies. I felt like a Disney princess, really. Butterflies were following me around, right? I still had negative experiences. I went through a lot. Was I in this perfect place? No. What I mean is there was something in me through this vulnerability, through this receiving, through encounter that came to life. I was alive. I had never felt so alive in my life, even in childhood. That's crazy. Even in childhood. So from there, you know, got married and had kids, and that was another thing added to me, something I always dreamed of. And throughout our life, we've been through plenty of ups and downs, plenty of hard things. But I find myself knowing that that's the source, right? Knowing that I can come to him in vulnerability and react to who he is, allow myself to react to what he's saying to me. When I say react, I want you to think receive. And let's go back to that verse. This is what it says here in Hebrews. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive. So you're not coming to God a sloppy, wet puddle so that you can just be a puddle and like lay around in it. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. So that you may receive mercy, so that you may find grace to help you in your time of need. So that brings us to our next slide. Healthy vulnerability is actually empowering. You should feel powerful when you come to God in vulnerability. Why? Because you will receive mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. What are you doing when you don't do that? You are trying to find your grace and mercy in here to receive what you need in your time of need. Inward. It's going to fall short. And you know how I know? I've done it. It falls short. Even when I'm coming up here today, if I start going inward looking for what I need to be in front of you guys for the first time, which I'm very excited to be here, it falls short. But when I have my family coming over me and praying for me, I'm opening my heart to God. I'm receiving that mercy and grace that helps me in my time of need. And I'm filled with that power. What a beautiful upside down kingdom we live in sometimes, right? It's the vulnerable are strong. When you're weak, you are made strong, right? When we allow ourselves to open up to God, we receive the strength that we need to live this life out. And as I shared in my testimony, I received what I needed to feel alive. Because before then, I lived out that scripture that talks about, I want to do this thing, but I don't. Well, you know, I feel like I want to do this, but I can't do it. I had not received that grace for my time of need. I had not received that life to live vibrantly for him. I want to give you guys a little invitation if you're ready for this. Are you ready for this? We're being vulnerable right now, you guys. Look at us. We're so good. All right. If you will, close your eyes. And if you feel like you want to, you can touch your heart or whatever. Whatever to you kind of symbolizes, like, I'm here, God. This is me. Being where I'm at, whatever mess you may have, or even just desire, that's part of vulnerability too. I want you to just say it to him right now. It can be out loud or in your head. Doesn't matter. And I want you to take a deep breath in and just feel that mercy and grace filling you in your time of need. And then do it again. Deep breath. You're receiving that mercy and grace right now that you need in your time of need. Thank you, God. And Stephen, if you want to come up, just stay right here now. Thank you, God. For whoever in here was told that they were not good enough over and over again throughout childhood, I break that off right now in Jesus' name. Whoever felt like their actual father and mother were not approachable, right now, I ask, Father God, that you would touch that place right now in their hearts, God. That you'd show them an image even of your approachability and your face and what your face looks like right now about them. In perfect grace, perfect peace. And even right now, if you really feel on your heart that there was something that was said that was for you, if you feel to do so, I ask you to just boldly stand up. I want to pray over you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, God. The freedom and the life that God filled me with in that season, I release it over you. You are free and you are beautiful, and who you are is a masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created by Him. You are allowed. I give you permission. That person that you were as a child that was pushed down, that was told you were too much, I bless you. I bless that little girl, that little boy right now. You were perfectly made, beautifully and wonderfully and perfectly made. And I even say right now that as you go forward, that things that you have told yourself you can't do anymore, you're going to be able to do. The things that you've held back because you felt too much, you're going to do it with ease. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. He is more than enough to fill those areas right now, God. I ask that they would even feel you right now, God, and they would allow themselves to react. Thank you, Jesus. And if anybody just deals with that fear of man, I really feel on my heart that God wants me to just break this off right now. Any fear of man that you can't be yourself, we say no to that right now. It ends today. You're free. You're received and you're accepted by God. And we love you for who you are. Resurgent loves you for who you are. And God accepts you for who you are, the way He created you.
For more resources and information about Resurgent ATL, please visit our website.